The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of the 12 Huntsmen contains depictions of violence, mutilation, abuse, and discussions of sex. Please exercise caution for children under 13. King Aldous roared in pain. His personal physician was poking and prodding him with cold metal instruments. Every breath he drew was like a knife in his side, and the doctor was starting to look grave. Aldous saw this and grimaced.
"Out with it! I don't pay you to coddle me!"
The physician composed himself. Then he informed the king that he had 1 month to live. Aldous's eyes started to bulge. He grabbed the doctor by the shirt and pulled him in close.
"Fix me, or mark my words, I will have your family flayed and make you eat their skin like bacon."
King Aldous collapsed back onto the bed, wheezing in pain and gesturing emphatically, "Out with the physician." There was only one individual he wanted by his side. He called out,
"Gregor! Gregor!"
A large golden lion with a thick brown mane pawed quietly into the room. He rested his chin on the king's bed. Aldous stroked the lion's head. Gregor had been with the king since they were both young. He was Aldous's only true friend and trusted advisor.
"Oh, Gregor," the king coughed. "What's the point of being king if the best doctors in the world can't help you? I was once strong, handsome, and proud. Now look at me. I'm a shell of an old man."
Gregor nuzzled the king and said in a gentle baritone,
"You are the greatest king this land has ever known. You will make it through this."
Aldous shook his head.
"Let's not mince words. I'm dying. Please see to it that my idiot son doesn't ruin the kingdom."
The lion licked his dying master's hand and then growled lightly,
"I will make sure he obeys your wishes, no matter what it takes."
I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we're on the trail of The 12 Huntsmen. The Brothers Grimm classic follows a jilted princess who's determined to get revenge against her former lover. Coming up, the king and his son have a volatile reunion. The Brothers Grimm are synonymous with fairy tales. Some of their most famous stories are the gold standards of the genre, like Snow White, Rapunzel, and Cinderella. But amongst the Grimm's greatest hits are some lesser-known tales. The 12 Huntsmen is one of them. Or rather, The King with the Lion, as the story was called in 1812 when it was first published. It wasn't until one of the subsequent editions of the Grimm's masterpiece, Children's and Household Tales, that the title changed to The 12 Huntsmen. The 12 Huntsmen's unconventional heroine may be one reason the story never quite caught on like the other popular princess tales, which is a pity because the story is as thought-provoking, surprising, and wickedly twisted as they come. Prince Dietrich lay smiling next to his lover, Princess Imelda, on a bed of soft countryside clover. Behind them stood an idyllic cottage owned by the prince's family. It was the only place where they could meet safely. Dietrich came from a large, wealthy kingdom full of sprawling cities. Imelda's family governed a humble province that had more cows than people. And even though she was a princess, some noble families, including Dietrich's, did not consider her royalty. But the two young lovers didn't care. In fact, the forbidden romance only stoked the flames of their passion. Dietrich caressed the tiny hairs on Imelda's arm.
"Why don't we run away together?"
he mused.
"We can live in the woods. I'll hunt for our food."
He drew an imaginary bow and flexed his arms for her. Imelda laughed and swatted him away.
I'm a better hunter than you'll ever be, city boy.
Dietrich feigned insult. He straddled her half-dressed body, pinning her down.
But you know how much I love hunting.
Imelda grabbed his arms and flipped him off her so she was on top.
You're an animal, you know that?
Before he could quip back, they heard a throaty growl behind them.
I don't think he's the animal you should be worried about, m'lady.
Dietrich and Imelda were startled to see Gregor the lion. He was Dietrich's father's right hand and henchman. Imelda covered herself with a blanket. Gregor sneered at her, but turned to Dietrich.
Get dressed, young man. You're coming with me.
The prince shook his head in defiance. Why are you here? Has father run out of servants to torment and sent for me instead? Gregor roared and bared his teeth. Dietrich and Imelda recoiled in fear. The lion took a step toward Dietrich.
Your father is on his deathbed. He wants you by his side. Show some dignity for once in your life.
Dietrich and Imelda scrambled to dress. Both their cheeks were red with shame. But as Dietrich mounted his horse to go, he looked back at Imelda.
I'll only be gone a day or two. Wait for me here.
He blew her a kiss and spurred his horse toward his homeland. But Gregor lingered. He stepped toward Imelda with bared teeth.
Dietrich comes from the greatest family in the land. Perhaps you would be better suited for a nice shepherd.
Imelda stood her ground.
I love him, and he loves me.
At that, the lion crouched, ready to pounce.
Stubborn girl, he growled.
He could finish her right now, but he glanced at Dietrich disappearing into the distance. He shook out his mane.
If I ever see you again, you won't be so lucky.
Then he raced after the prince. After a day of hard riding, Prince Dietrich and Gregor arrived at the castle. Dietrich followed Gregor to his father's chambers and entered to see the once great King Aldous lying shriveled on his bed. The king's skin was pale as frost. Dark veins protruded from his neck and scalp. The room smelled of old mucus and sweat. Instantly, Dietrich knew that Gregor was right. His father was dying. At first, Dietrich lingered near the door, a rush of pained confusion flooding his body. He'd spent so many years fearing this mighty man, but Aldous started waving a flimsy hand, gesturing his son closer. So Dietrich steeled himself and stepped into the room. The king beckoned him again. Dietrich approached his bedside. Then the king told him to come even closer. Dietrich crouched down, bringing his face right next to his father's. Aldous, with surprising strength, boxed his son's ear.
Idiot boy! Always shirking responsibility, doing whatever you please.
Then he erupted into a fit of pained coughing. Dietrich reeled away from his father. He rubbed the side of his head. He watched aghast as the old man spasmed on the bed and shook his head. Some things never changed, even in the face of death.
I hope you suffer how you've made me suffer, Dietrich hissed.
Then he spat on the ground and turned toward the door. King Aldous caught his breath.
Wait!
He called after Dietrich. The prince hesitated at the doorway. His fists shook with anger. Everything in him said to walk out that door and let his father waste away in his own filth. But even now, when his father was so ill and weak, Dietrich feared what might happen if he disobeyed. So he turned back, stopping just out of Aldous's reach. The king held out his hand. The prince didn't move. Then, for the first time in his life, Dietrich heard his father whisper one word.
Please!
The prince reluctantly took his father's hand. It felt like wax.
His voice sounded strange, too, as he began to sputter,
"I know you don't like me, boy. You've made it very obvious. But I am your father, and you will respect my dying wishes. You're going to be king soon, which means putting your childish ways behind you. I've arranged for you to marry Princess Cecilia from the north. She comes from good stock, and her father rules a respectable kingdom, so you'd better end your sordid affair with that country trollop."
At that, Dietrich yanked his hand out of his father's. "Her name is Imelda, and she is a princess just as much as I am a prince. I will not have you speak of her that way!" His voice echoed off the stone walls of the tower. For a moment, the room went completely still. The silence was eventually broken by King Aldous, chuckling. With great effort, he sat up.
"I'm warning you, you spoiled ingrate! You will do as I say!"
Aldous fell back onto his bed. The veins in his neck and face grew dark. His eyes rolled back into his head. He convulsed wildly. Dietrich yelled for the doctor. Moments later, the physician and Gregor raced into the room. The doctor threw his body on top of the king's to try and hold him down. Several nurses and servants followed. The castle buzzed with panic. Dietrich watched in stunned silence as the staff tried to revive his father. Then everything went quiet. Gregor howled. No one said a word, but Dietrich knew his father was dead. He suddenly felt numb. His father had mistreated him his whole life, but now that he was gone, Dietrich didn't know what to think. He wandered in a daze out of the king's room. More than anything, he wanted to be with Imelda. He eventually found himself in his room. There, he hurriedly packed his bag. If he set off now, he could be back to his princess by sunrise. But when Dietrich opened his door to leave, Gregor blocked the way. The lion's eyes were red and streaked with tears.
"Leaving so soon?" he asked.
Dietrich didn't answer, but his shoulders drooped with guilt. Gregor shook his head in disappointment.
"Your father commanded you to end things with that girl."
The prince stumbled back into his room.
"I'll do as I please. Besides, father had clearly gone mad."
Gregor roared.
"It wasn't madness. It was the truth. It's time for you to finally grow up. You are king now. You will write a letter to your little shepherdess and tell her that it's over. Or, if you don't, I will end it for you. And you won't like how."
Dietrich tried to protest, but Gregor had more than just tears in his eyes. There was a crazed, bloodthirsty look, too. So the prince sat at his desk. He pulled out a quill and parchment. Gregor hovered over his shoulder, sharp fangs bared. And then the lion began to dictate a message. Dietrich had never felt more helpless than he did as he copied out the words.
"Dear Imelda, I'm sorry it has come to this, but I'm in love with someone else. It's over."
Coming up, a heartbroken princess plans to assassinate a new king.
The internet. What would we do without it?
So much information, so little time. And yet, with all the answers available online, there still lie scores of deep, dark, spooky secrets.
Mysteries yet to be solved, until now. This isn't clickbait. This is our exclusive new podcast, Internet Urban Legends. I'm Loie, your evidence expert.
And I'm Eleanor, the self-proclaimed skeptic. Together, we're the gruesome twosome, sleuths in search of the weirdest stories on the web.
Every Tuesday, we investigate the internet's creepiest conundrums, covering each conspiracy theory and combing through every clue to separate hoax from haunt.
Whether it's the video sure to make you lose your appetite, Blank Room Soup,
or every kid's worst nightmare, the terrifying truth behind Disney's deaths,
or every parent's worst nightmare, social media's Momo Challenge.
Each episode of Internet Urban Legends is chock full of disturbing details which are either truly demented or ripe for debunking.
And no matter our conclusion, we're sure to be left scared half to death. So won't you join us?
Follow our new Spotify original from Parcast, Internet Urban Legends. Listen free and exclusively on Spotify.
Now back to the story. Princess Imelda paced nervously in the cottage. It had been close to a week since Prince Dietrich left. She was beginning to worry. What if he fell off of his horse? What if Gregor the Lion had killed him? Just as her mind was spinning out of control, she heard a knock on the cottage door. Thank God, it must be Dietrich, she thought. Though it was strange that he was knocking, she bounded excitedly over to the door, but when she opened it, she didn't see Dietrich's handsome, smiling face. It was a homely messenger. The boy handed her a sealed envelope, then darted back down the road. Imelda opened the letter. When she saw that it was Dietrich's handwriting, she let out a sigh of relief. He's not here, but he's alive. But then she started to read the message. After a few lines, Imelda had seen enough. She threw the paper away from her. She felt her body start to shake, and she tried to tell herself it was a forgery. But she knew that chicken scratch handwriting. It was unmistakable, and Dietrich's familiar scent wafted from the page. It always made her feel faint. This time was no different. But in a different way. She staggered backward and braced herself on a table. Meanwhile, her lover's words kept echoing in her mind. It's over. I'm engaged to Princess Cecilia of the North. Imelda wanted to bury her face in a pillow and cry for days, at first. But then, something came over her. How dare he? That cad! Her body began to vibrate with an intensity she had never felt before. Her heart raced. Her breathing seemed to accelerate on its own. A bitter, metallic taste permeated her mouth. It was pure, venomous rage. Suddenly, she unleashed a primal scream that echoed through the cottage and across the valley. She flew out the front door and ran towards her horse, and then she started to gallop full speed toward her father's castle. When the princess arrived home, she burst through the castle doors. The citizens were excited to see her, but she didn't stop to greet them as she normally did. Instead, she raced straight to the armory. She collected several large hunting knives, a bow, and some arrows. Everything she needed to kill Dietrich. But when she turned to leave, she ran straight into King Bernard.
"Father!"
she blurted out, surprised by his presence. Bernard was a towering figure with kind, sleepy eyes like a bear. He looked at the weapons in her hands.
"I was helping the farmers in the field when I saw you ride past like a banshee. What's the matter, pumpkin?"
Imelda didn't answer. She didn't want to lie to her father. Bernard filled in the silence.
"It's that boy Dietrich, isn't it?"
The princess looked at her father in shock. How did he know? She certainly never told him about their romance. Her father gestured for her to hand over the knives and bow.
"I know you're angry, but you'll never make it past his guards like that. Let this vengeance go. He doesn't deserve you."
The princess stared at her father for a moment, processing his words. Letting this go was not an option. Her entire body still hummed with fury. But she realized her father was right in one regard. She couldn't just rush in and kill Dietrich. She would have to think smarter. Suddenly, inspiration struck. She smiled at her father with as much sweetness as she could manage.
"You're right. Perhaps I need a hobby to take my mind off this."
She softened her tone even more as she continued.
"Could you find me 11 women who are about my size and look similar to me? I have an idea for a game."
Imelda batted her eyes at her father. He'd never been able to say no to his darling daughter, and this time was no different. He knew she was up to something. What game required 11 identical women? But he agreed to help her find them. It took a week, but eventually, Bernard fulfilled Imelda's request. He managed to locate a group of young ladies from around their kingdom who were almost as pretty as Imelda. They were daughters of farmers, blacksmiths, and other peasants, but they all had the same chestnut hair and fair features. When the girls arrived at the castle, Imelda organized them in a line in the courtyard. She marched up and down their ranks with a long, slender switch in her hands. Then she got right to business. She asked if any of them had experience riding horses and hunting. Most of them hadn't. Imelda was disappointed, but she was prepared for this. For the next 2 weeks, the princess trained her little troop. She taught them how to use spears, bows, and arrows. She instructed them on how to gut and clean deer. She drilled them on riding techniques and commanding hunting dogs. When one of them made a mistake, she struck them hard with her switch. Her methods were cruel and hard, but effective. After a couple of weeks, the women not only looked exactly like Imelda, but they were experienced hunters. The group moved in graceful unison. They were able to capture foxes, deer, and even bears with ease. Imelda was happy with their progress. There was only one detail left. Imelda had her royal seamstresses sew 12 identical hunting uniforms and 12 girdles that would conceal her huntress's breasts and female shapes. A dozen identical hats hid their long, dark hair. And when the finishing touches were done, Imelda led her troop of hunters on their matching horses toward Dietrich's castle. King Dietrich sat drowsily on his throne. A local merchant was droning on about taxes. Dietrich didn't care about any of it. He could barely keep his eyes open. As he started to nod off, Gregor's bushy tail flicked his face. Dietrich snapped awake.
Thank you for bringing this to my attention, he blurted out. I'll look into it. That will be all.
The merchant was confused, but he bowed reverently and was escorted out of the great hall. When he was gone, Gregor turned on the young king.
Show some respect. Your people look forward to having an audience with you. You could at least pretend to pay attention.
Dietrich rolled his eyes.
How could anyone pay attention? It's one meeting after another. Royal audiences, treasury meetings, ration councils.
Gregor shook his head at him.
Your father never fell asleep.
That stung Dietrich like an angry wasp. Mention of his father dredged up so many unpleasant memories.
Gregor, I haven't been outside the castle in weeks. Maybe if I had some time for anything fun, the boring parts wouldn't be so boring.
Gregor gave a slight smile.
Then today's your lucky day. Next on the docket is a group of young men petitioning to be your royal hunting party.
Dietrich sat up with excitement. He gestured for the servants to lead the hunters in, and when the group marched into the great hall, his mouth gaped open in shock. Even Gregor let out a gasp. There stood 12 perfectly identical young men. Not only were they all copies of each other, but they were some of the most dainty and striking men he had ever seen. They had high cheekbones and dazzling blue eyes. 11 of the men bowed low. One stepped forward.
"Your Majesty," the young leader began. "We are the most accomplished hunters you will find in all the kingdom. We move and act in perfect synchronicity. No prey can escape us."
Something about the young man's voice was familiar, but Dietrich couldn't quite place it. Still, he found the men so alluring that he held his arms open and decreed,
"I have been wanting to go for a hunt, and now I've found the perfect companions."
Gregor, on the contrary, was not so welcoming.
He circled the young men, sniffing the air. There was something suspicious about them.
"Where did you say you were from?"
he asked. Imelda didn't answer. She kept her eyes glued on the king.
"Your Highness, we would be honored to hunt with you. We saw a beautiful stag as we rode in. Perhaps if we go now, we can catch it."
But Gregor interrupted.
"The stag can wait. Before the king joins you on a hunt, we should confirm your skills, should we not?"
The princess swallowed. That wasn't part of her plan, but it was too late to back down now. She bowed to the king.
"We will be happy to perform whatever tests the king desires."
Dietrich shook his head at Gregor.
"Since you do not trust my kingly wisdom, you may dream up whatever trials you want for these fine men. I'm sure they will pass them. In the meantime, gentlemen, please make yourselves at home in the castle."
Servants escorted the hunters to their guest chambers. When they were alone, a few of the women began to unbind their uniforms and girdles.
But Imelda drew a dagger and pointed it at them.
"You fools! There are eyes everywhere. We must stay in disguise at all times."
Pain showed on the young women's faces, but they knew better than to argue with the princess, so they remained in their uniforms and tried to get some rest. Later that night, when most of the castle was asleep, Imelda snuck out of the huntress's rooms. She crept through the hall, hoping to overhear a clue, any clue, about the test tomorrow. As she neared the great hall, she heard Gregor's familiar baritone. That was promising. She shrank against the wall and pressed her ear close. However, she couldn't decipher what he was saying. She was too far away. As Imelda tiptoed closer to the door, she ran directly into someone exiting the room. For a moment, she thought she was caught, but luckily, it was a servant. She grabbed him by the collar and pushed him against the stone wall. She brought her dagger up toward his throat, and then she whispered in a threat,
"Tell me what that pompous cat is planning, or I'll kill you right here."
The servant's eyes darted around, searching for help, but they were alone in the hall. Imelda touched the cold metal of the dagger to his skin. The young man swallowed hard.
He thinks you're all a bunch of lady peasants. He's going to make you walk barefoot across thorns so that you shriek. And if that doesn't work, he's going to parade you through a line of spinning wheels that produce pure gold. He says women can't resist a good spinning wheel, and poor people love gold. That's all I know, I swear.
Imelda smirked. Did Gregor really think so little of her? She removed the dagger from the servant's neck, but she twisted it menacingly in front of his eyes. She told him to tell no one of this, or she'd find his family and kill them. The servant vigorously nodded in agreement and escaped as fast as he could. Meanwhile, Imelda set off toward the guest chambers, but as she turned down the final hallway, she stopped in her tracks. Ahead of her were two glowing feline eyes. Gregor's baritone spoke from the darkness.
"I know what you are, and tomorrow I'll prove it to the king."
Coming up, Imelda battles a lion to earn the king's trust. Now back to the story. Princess Imelda hurried into her guest chambers and locked the door. Her heart was still racing from her encounter with Gregor the Lion, but she knew the tests he had planned for her and her team. They just had to prepare. Immediately, she woke her hunters from their fitful sleep and described the tests that they would face in the morning. But the princess wasn't satisfied with them simply knowing the challenges, so she added extra incentive for success.
"If you think a few little thorn pricks will hurt, I promise my blade will hurt even more. And as for the spinning wheels of gold, I don't care if your families are starving back home. If you so much as look at the lustrous threads, I'll have everyone you love hanged before your own eyes."
When Imelda's back was turned, some of the young women exchanged glances. This was not the sweet princess they'd thought would inherit their kingdom. She was changing, for the worse. Still, they feared her wrath more than anything, so they stayed up the rest of the night and steeled themselves for the tests. The next morning, Imelda led her team of hunters to the throne room. A few steps inside, they saw their first challenge. Thousands of thorns were scattered across the marble floor. Beyond that, a dozen large spinning wheels churned out fine strands of priceless gold. And at the far side of the hall, King Dietrich sat on his throne, with Gregor perched smugly next to him. Imelda could see that Dietrich's body was stiff. She knew he was nervous. He had looked just like that the first time they made love. For a moment, she softened. She remembered the wonderful time they had spent together. She thought of how he made her laugh, how gentle he was when he touched her. But then she recalled how he had abandoned her at the cottage, how he had chosen Princess Cecilia, a dull girl from the Northern Kingdom. As her anger boiled up again, Imelda turned to her huntsmen. She commanded them to remove their boots. Together, they trod across the thorny path. Each step sent a jolt of pain through their bodies. Blood trickled from the soles of their feet, covering the floor in crimson footprints. Imelda gritted her teeth as the thorns stabbed her over and over, but she and all 11 of her women made it to the other side of the makeshift briar patch with barely a flinch. Next, they marched through the gauntlet of gold-spinning wheels. As the contraptions worked, they produced ever-growing piles of riches. A handful would feed any of the young women's families for a year. But as instructed, the ladies kept their eyes focused ahead. When they passed through, they arrived in front of the king. Imelda knelt and bowed her head. The other women followed suit. King Dietrich stood and applauded them.
"I must admit, I wasn't sure how these tests would prove your worth as huntsman, but I'm pleased to say you passed."
Just then, Gregor roared violently. He leapt down from the dais and bared his sharp fangs.
"I will protect the king, even if it is from his own foolishness."
He swiped at Imelda's neck, hoping to kill her on the spot, but she spun away in time. Gregor's claws gouged into her shoulder instead. She drew her dagger and lunged at the beast. This time, he swatted her away with his mighty paw. As Imelda gathered her strength, she noticed her hunters were backing away, afraid. But she commanded them,
"Hunters, attack!"
One of the young hunters drew her blade, then another, and another. Several others pulled their bows and knocked arrows. Imelda grinned. She had trained them well. Now all 12 women advanced on the lion. Gregor jumped on top of one, knocking her over. He quickly leapt on two clustered together, pinning them both. He cried out in pain as an arrow dug into his shoulder. He dodged a second strike. He swatted one woman away and whipped another with his tail. But no matter how many times he knocked one down, another one popped up to replace her. Gregor started to shrink back. He was surrounded. He moved toward Dietrich. If this was his last stand, he would use his body to shield the king. But suddenly, the sound of metal scratching against metal cut through the chaos. Imelda took her eyes off Gregor and noticed that Dietrich had drawn his father's ceremonial broadsword. The young king pointed it at the lion.
"Thank you for your service, Gregor, but your counsel is no longer needed."
The lion stared at Dietrich, his face twisting into a pained snarl, betrayal, but turned back to Imelda.
"This isn't over," he growled.
Then he dashed out of the throne room. With the lion gone, Imelda and the hunters collapsed in relief. In the short battle, many of the women had been injured. Imelda surveyed the damage and tried to calm the most seriously wounded. Meanwhile, Dietrich buzzed with excitement.
"Nobody has ever bested Gregor before. You really are skilled hunters."
Imelda nodded half-heartedly at him. They had bested Gregor, but they'd paid a heavy price. She hadn't planned on getting the women truly hurt.
"My men are injured," she said. "Could you spare some bandages?"
The king called for his servants to bring medical supplies. As Imelda tended to one of her hunters, she felt a hand touch her shoulder. She turned to see Dietrich. He gestured to her shoulder.
"You're bleeding too. May I help?"
She hesitated, then nodded. She couldn't believe he was so close to her. She smelled his familiar musk. It reminded her of making love in the clovers. But those days were gone. Almost reflexively, Imelda's fingers touched her dagger. She could kill him right here. Before she grabbed the hilt and sliced his throat, however, she snapped out of it. Not here, she assured herself. She'd have plenty of time in the forest where she could really make him feel some pain without courtiers interrupting. Under her breath, low enough that the prince couldn't hear, she whispered,
"Before the sun rises tomorrow, the king will be dead."
Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back on Wednesday with the exciting conclusion to The 12 Huntsmen. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Nick Johnson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Tales was written by Joseph Bricker, with writing assistance by Nora Battelle. Fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson.